What's the reality of porn? Real life starts now.
Welcome to Real Life with Evangelists Han and Kathleen Lay, where people with real problems find answers in a real God.
Welcome to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, Evangelist Han Lay.
Later in the show, you'll hear from Luke Gibbons, who got introduced to pornography at the age of 12 years.
I think it's very rampant, and especially in America, there's images everywhere. Even if you try to, you know, go through the mall without looking at something, there'll be something there. And I know this because having children, you try to protect their eyes, and it's almost impossible.
Well, it's interesting because pornography, some people say that it's just something, you know, okay, and some people say that it's something that's harmful. But Jesus said a lot about it. He said, "I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." And then he talks about saying, take extreme measures, like your right eye or your right hand, cast it from you. Mm-hmm. And the reason why is because if you look at the science behind pornography, Jesus is right. Pornography causes this dopamine response and a cycle of just addiction towards it, where it's like this cycle of unnatural, which is looking at images, you know, rather than falling in love with a wife is how God made it, or mm-hmm. husband. So pornography can really steal and take away from that. It's artificial. It's like trans fatty acids.
Right. But one of the things that I've learned with anything when it comes to things that people are struggling with is if you indulge in it, if you like it, then you'll continue in it. And it isn't until we realize how much we hate what we're doing that we can actually get rid of what it is. And it's something that will destroy you eventually. And we're going to have Luke Gibbons share how he got freedom from the addiction to pornography. So stay tuned.
Colorado Christian University College of Adult and Graduate Studies presents Hope Fest 2017, Saturday, June 10th at Centennial Park Amphitheater. Tickets are just $39 and are on sale at www.thehopefest.com. Less than 5,000 tickets are available, so get them while you can. One day, one stage, 10 huge bands, and 5,000 of your closest friends. Hope Fest 2017.
Did you know that we have a way for you to win free tickets to Hope Fest? This week, we're giving away 2 free tickets to 1 lucky winner. Call us to enter to win the drawing. Our number is 877-480-4477. That's 877-480-4477. We'll be speaking at Hope Fest and would love to meet you at our Real Life Radio Show booth. Hope to see you there. Welcome back to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, Evangelist Han Lay.
Hello, everyone.
Joining me is Luke Gibbons, and he had an addiction to porn, but was set free from that at 25, and we're going to find out about that. Let's welcome to the show, Luke. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thank you for having me on the program today. It's great to be here with you guys.
So tell me about 12 years old and what you were introduced to that got you started into porn addiction.
Yeah, I think it was gradual for me. I had older brothers, and so the content that I was seeing was probably above my age when even we were watching TV and that kind of stuff. But really, the stuff that I remember is when a friend said to me, come over to my house. I found one of my dad's magazines, and so he showed me that. And I just remember those times of exposure when I was still very early on in sort of teenage years. And that was my formative understanding of sexuality. Like, I didn't really have much of a teaching of sexuality in the home. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so that was where I started to learn about that kind of stuff. But it was really when we got the internet, when I was about probably 13 or 14, that things started to snowball out of control. And I started to get into online chatting and just viewing pornographic websites. So that became the pattern of my acting out. I would go online, chat with people, and then eventually end up going to pornographic websites if I couldn't find what I was looking for in the chat rooms.
Wow. Now, were you raised in a religious home, or was it just a normal home atmosphere?
Yeah, it was religious. As you can tell, I'm not from the States. I grew up in Australia, and in Australia, there's less of a religious influence than there is here in America. But, you know, my family had Christian beliefs, and we went to church every Sunday and that kind of thing. Mm. But probably at that age, I hadn't really owned my faith yet. It wasn't something that I had sort out myself. That probably came over my teenage years as I started to learn more about God. I always had an interest in God, in who he was, but I didn't know him as my Lord and Savior at that time.
Now, when you were looking at porn on the internet, did you ever feel like there was an issue with it, or did you think it was a common thing that you felt comfortable with that everyone was doing?
Yeah, as my faith grew, I guess I felt more at odds with it. And so it was something that I kept fairly secret. Early on, I think it was something that people at school would talk about a lot more and that kind of stuff. But as it grew into more of a problem for me, it became more of a secret. And I split almost these two parts of my life. Mm-hmm. There was the secret part that I kept, which is where I acted out online every evening. Yeah. Or however frequent it was. And then there was the public part of me, which was the good Christian boy that everybody thought I was. So I kind of almost became these two different people, and it was tearing me apart. So it was really hard.
Wow.
I think that people can really relate to that. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's something that a lot of young men experience as well.
Right. And I think it's something that whether you're in a church or have a belief, it's something that people, men, even women, struggle with.
Right.
And
that's what
so here you were, all the way up to you were 25 years old. Mm-hmm. And when you say it became a problem, was it interfering with work or school, or was it more just your conscience?
Yeah, absolutely. All of it. I didn't really notice it that much at school, although there were times when I was staying up really late and I probably could have been putting a lot more time into homework and that kind of thing. But it was when I left home and becoming very active in the church. So publicly, people thought I was this great Christian, but privately, I was struggling and I tried to stop so many times. I thought every time I viewed pornography, I would say, I'm never doing that again. God, please help me not to do that ever again. But then I'd be back there, right back there doing it again a week later or maybe even a couple of days later. And I remember moving to university. I had to move cities to go to university. And I got a new computer and I thought, this is going to be my clean machine. I'm not going to view anything questionable on this computer.
Right.
That promise that I made lasted maybe 2 weeks maximum. And then I was back there viewing it again. And so it really became pervasive in my life. Followed me through university into work life. And so sometimes I'd be going to work on 1 hour's sleep and falling asleep at work. And I just wasn't as productive as I could have been, but it was also affecting my relationships as well. And so I hadn't had a relationship with the opposite sex at all. And I also missed my friends' birthdays and times when I had made time to catch up with friends. I'd missed it completely because I'd been too busy online and that kind of thing, or I would always rock up late to events and that kind of thing as well. So it really did affect all of my life. But I think the most significant part was this real chasm that I felt in my life, because I was trying to serve God with all my heart, but at the same time, I was really struggling to break free from this stuff. And so I just couldn't figure out a way out of it. I didn't understand why I couldn't just stop.
Yeah, and I think that's where people are at, and they're wondering, well, what is the answer? How did he get freedom? And I know it's a lot for people who, for instance, my husband, before we were married, he had the addiction, and before he knew
very
the
similar
Lord.
Story.
And but he surrendered to God in that way and was delivered supernaturally. And sometimes people have that, but in your case, you had a situation where a certain program helped you. Can you tell me about that and how you got the freedom you needed?
Yeah, look, I got to a point where I just had to open up to a friend, and I had put that off for so long, so many times I had the opportunity to do it, and I just couldn't do it. I thought I was the only one struggling with this, and I didn't know how people were going to react. And so it wasn't until I started to open up to my closest friends that they went away and did some research and came back to me and said, look, we've done some research into these programs. There's this rehab program that we think you should go and participate in. And I was like, oh, wow, that's a big deal. And then they said, yeah, and they told me how much it cost. And I was like, that's a really big deal. And so, yeah, but I was ready, and I was ready to do whatever it took. I had the savings. It was a large chunk of my life savings at that point in time. And I told my work that I was going to go away for 6 weeks, and I couldn't tell them where I was going. A week later, my friends drove me to the rehab facility. And I still remember that day, I just broke down crying. I called my parents and told them where I was. And I remember seeing my friends after they had dropped me off. They drove out of these big iron gates, and the big iron gates shut behind them. And I knew I was going to be stuck in this place for 6 weeks. We weren't allowed to leave. I thought I was in prison, and one of the guys there actually said, "You're in prison now, mate." And I'm like, "Oh no!"
Yeah, what did I do?
No, but I mean, you were serious.
At the same time, it was my rock bottom. It brought me to a place where God began to rebuild me. Now, it wasn't a Christian rehab, so I learned a lot of clinical information in there, but I kind of had to rely on my own faith in God rather than running to my pastor or another friend. Mm-hmm. I had to just dig into scripture myself, and that became a very intimate time between me and God.
Wow.
And he just began to rebuild me, and I just would fall on my knees before him and just pour out my heart to him because I was hearing all this really heavy stuff. It was a place where people of all addictions were, so I was hearing their stories and realizing how similar pornography was to cocaine addiction, to gambling addiction, to alcoholism. Right. And I could see these similarities across our stories. And I just had to humble myself because I probably had always seen myself as being better than that. And so it was a humbling experience too, where God is showing me, this is who you are, but you are my son. I love you, but everybody struggles with something. And so we all are in desperate need of him.
Well, you know, there are people listening who need that freedom, and you got free from going to this, and God spoke to you about your identity. Mm-hmm. We're going to pray for people. What's one word that you could say to someone who's wanting to just give up right now or who doesn't think there's a way out?
Yeah, look, hope is the word, and you are not alone in what you're struggling with. I thought I was always alone, but you're not. There are other people out there who have walked that path before you, and that they want to share their journey of what they've walked through with you as well. And
Amen.
God is going to use that to speak into your life. Doesn't matter what you're struggling with, whether it's pornography or some other addiction or whatever it is.
Amen.
There are other people out there who've walked that journey, and God's got a story that he wants to share with you, and that's in the community of others.
Thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate you sharing your heart, and we believe people will be set free right now. Thanks for being with us, Luke.
Thanks for having me on the program.
Well, what a great story. And what I really noticed is that there was a moment when Luke got very serious. He put the cost down. He put the time down. And honestly, pornography is one of those things, it's almost like a slow bleed. But as you can hear Luke's story, it's a slow bleed to death. So Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that if there's anyone who's listening and who's dealing with this situation, maybe even not even realizing that there's an addiction, Father, I pray that you would help us to see that, and I pray that you would break that addiction from us in Jesus' name. We're praying for the power of God to move in our lives, to purify us, cleanse us. Jesus, we receive you now to do all those things to set us free in Jesus' name.
Amen. Just surrender to him. God bless you all. You're listening to Real Life.